tell you the truth, it is expedient to you that I go, for if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. First, congratulations to all the mothers on Mother's Day. It's definitely a good day to say thank you for saying yes to life, life which has become not only countercultural, but even heroic in courage. And that's what I'm preaching about today, is actually the Holy Spirit's gift of fortitude. Probably as a teenager, or as a young friar, Padre Pio was given a vision with his certain guardian, with his guardian angel, of a certain demon he would have to face his whole life. His guardian angel said to him, "Come with me, for it is fitting that you fight as a valiant warrior." And in this vision, his guardian angel took him, and Padre Pio saw this giant, hideous being whose forehead even scraped the clouds. Pio begged his guardian angel to not have to fight that monster, but his guide explained, quote, "All resistance is useless. It is advisable that you fight this man. Take heart, enter confidently into the combat. Go forward courageously, for I shall be close to you. I will assist you and will not allow him to overcome you. In reward for your victory over him, I will give you a splendid crown to adorn your head." Close quote. First thing to realize in spiritual warfare is you are in warfare whether you like it or not. If you recuse yourself from it in the hopes to just kind of flow through life, you've actually already lost the battle. In one sense, you've been put on the D-Day beaches in the spiritual life, whether you like it or not. But we're destined to win. That's the thrust of this homily. Remember, though, from D-Day, the one on Earth that happened 50-plus years ago, that many of those who held back were killed, but many who lunged forward lived. Now, you may have heard this in today's gospel, but Satan's called the prince of this world. Why would he be called the prince of this world? St. Cyril of Alexandria says, quote, "It's not as being so in truth, or as though he possessed the dignity of a ruler inherent in him, but because he holds the glory of this world by fraud and violence, and because he still rules those in error, and because of their own wills, he exercises authority over them." Close quote. So St. Cyril of Alexandria is saying Satan really only has power over you if you keep your mind in error or your heart away from fulfilling God's will. So it shows that the two persons to conquer is Satan and yourself. By person, obviously, Satan is not a human person, but an angelic being, and we can use the term person interchangeably at times. We're going to see today that supernatural fortitude is indeed only a gift from God, nothing we've earned, as we heard in the gospel today. That line, "But I tell you the truth, it is expedient to you that I go. For if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." But the supernatural gift of fortitude must land on a natural desire to live fortitude or courage. How important is courage or fortitude? St. Teresa of Avila says this, "To have courage for whatever comes in life, everything lies in that." You catch that? She said everything. To have courage for whatever comes in life, everything lies in that. In this period of the church, when we're, you know, in an Easter season, it's an Easter Sunday, we're approaching the Ascension, and then those are the 9 days, the very first novena of praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. But we cannot receive supernatural fortitude unless we have some desire to conquer ourselves. What does it mean to conquer myself? Well, we can even parse the question down a little bit further. It's, what are my desires of the flesh that prevent me from union with God? And what are my attitudes to others that prevent me from loving those around me, especially those closest to me? Remember, Satan is not interested in your strong area. He's interested in your weak area, the chinks in the armor. Remember that St. Cyril just said that Satan only rules those if you keep your mind in error or your will in an evil way. So Satan has some power over us in the areas that our intellect is not in line with the truth of the Catholic Church, or if our will is not in line with love of God or our neighbor. Or even a healthy love of ourself, which is why self-control is actually better for your body than living a life of license where your body gets everything it wants. Periods of fasting have been proven even by atheists to strengthen the body. We conquer ourselves not for that, however. We conquer ourselves to prepare us for a bigger battle. You see, the exorcist Father Ripperger has this description of the vices in our lives sort of being like a rag that we will not let go of. Imagine the attachments in your life, not your spouse's wife or your neighbor's wife. What are the unhealthy attachments? Even if they're not mortal sins, anything keeping you from God, even things like spiritual judgment or wasting time, holding on to those is like a rag. Now picture a dog about four times the size of you. He can just drag you around. You think you can drag him, but he just drags you around by this rag. Well, what's the easiest way to get out of that? Is it to fight the dog? No, it's just to let go of the rag, right? So the question to ask is, what are these rags I'm holding on to? What are the attachments in my life that Satan's just wiping the floor with me with? What am I holding on to? Father Ripperger really shows, and again, he's an exorcist, he really shows 99% of the time Satan only has a way into our heart through those attachments. If we let go of those, Our Lady crushes Satan. It's very easy. And this is why, as we prepare for Pentecost, it's not that giving these things up is twisting God's arm to trick him into giving us grace. It's that he already wants to pour these graces on us as his beloved sons and daughters. And when we detach ourselves, it's not for the sake of living kind of like sad Catholic lives. Detachment is for the sake of preparation for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Grace builds on nature without destroying it. Famous line from St. Thomas, and maybe before that, which means two things, one positive and one negative. When and if you become a saint, you become more yourself, not less. I think we all have this fear, if I become a saint, I have to be a stranger person than I am. Not true. God makes your personality more attractive and more beautiful. Number two, and this is a little more negative, when you fall into sin, the reason you can't expect the free gift of the Holy Spirit this Pentecost is not because the Holy Spirit is short-tempered, but because he can only grant supernatural peace to one who has found natural peace and not getting dragged around by the devil via our attachments that keep us from God. And that can be something as small as just wasting too much time. So in this time before Pentecost, we can get rid of those rags, those attachments to sin. Again, not my neighbor's sin or my spouse's sin or my priest's sin, but my sin. And this is what Jesus is talking about in the gospel today. Why is it so good that the Holy Spirit comes? St. Cyril of Alexandria continues this, quote, "For as long as Christ remained bodily with those who believed in him, he appeared to them, I think, as the giver of every gift." And that should actually, by the way, sound like the epistle that we had from James today. But I continue. "But when it was time and imperative that he should ascend to his heavenly Father, then he was to be present to his worshipers by means of the Spirit and dwell in their hearts by faith, so that possessing him, we might with courage cry, 'Abba, Father,' and go forward in every virtue, and as having within us the all-powerful Spirit, be found strong and invincible against the assaults of men and the snares of the devil." Did you catch that word, invincible? This is a doctrine of the church. God actually wants us to be found strong and invincible against the assaults of men and the snares of the devil. He continues, quote, For is it not easy to show, as well as from the Old, as from the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit changes the disposition of those in whom he wills to be and to abide, and restores in them a newness of life? For the inspired Samuel, when speaking to Saul, says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, and you shall be changed into another man." 1 Kings 10. And the blessed Paul says, "Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," or freedom in some translations. "But we all, beholding the glory of the Lord with open face, are transformed into the same image of glory to glory. It's by the Spirit of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 3. Here's the last part of that quote from St. Cyril. It's important, so just listen to this. Quote, "See then how the Spirit transforms those in whom he dwells. For he readily turns them away from their taste for earthly things to dwell on those that are in heaven, and from an unmanly cowardice to a courageous state of soul. And we cannot doubt that we shall find the disciples so changed and so strengthened by the Spirit that they were in no way dismayed by the assaults of their persecutors, hand holding fast to the love that is in Christ." Close quote. So the point is this: to defeat Satan, you must first defeat yourself. That's not to say there's not real demons out there, but again, think of those rags that you're holding on to. And if you want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you must first conquer yourself, not only the big sins of impurity, but also the holes in your formation. You know, most American Catholics, both liberal and conservative, they think of what they're already formed on, strangely enough, what they want to teach other people, instead of what is still missing, these chinks in the armor. So my call to you today is start filling in the areas that you know are missing in your life. Because many of the saints, even later in their life, knew they had to keep reading, continue doing spiritual reading. Maybe something orthodox that challenges us is what we need to read, not just something orthodox that happens to support the couple things we get right. Now, I'm not saying this to make every life in here the life of a priest or a nun, but think again of that promise of St. Cyril, quote, I haven't got to the quote yet, that the point of the Holy Spirit coming soon at Pentecost is to be found strong and invincible against the assaults of men and the snares of the devil. So the two parts, the two important parts of our faculties we're going to talk about today is the intellect and the will. St. Cyril says we can't fulfill what we heard in the gospel today if there's error in our mind or we've diverted from the law of love in our heart. And so the best way to overcome that is to form our minds the right way, and that takes some time, and to look at our primary defect and work on that. What is our primary defect? I'm going to steal another line from this traditionalist exorcist, Father Ripperger. He says, pray to Our Lady of Seven Sorrows for her to show you what your primary defect is. There's actually a rosary for the seven sorrows. The seven sorrows of Mary are, first, the prophecy of Simeon. These are all sorrows of Mary's life. Why was that sad? Because this was when she heard, a sword will pierce your heart so the thoughts of many might be revealed. Mary already knew of the passion, death, and resurrection, but this went deeper. Two, the desperate flight to Egypt. Three, the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. Four, the meeting of Mary and Jesus on the way of the cross. Five, the actual crucifixion of Jesus on Mount Calvary. Six, the piercing of the side of Jesus and his descent from the cross. Some other lists call it just simply the death of Jesus. And number seven, the burial of Jesus by Joseph of Arimathea. Obviously comes to 49 Hail Marys. And it was a very, very powerful tradition through different centuries of the church, but it was almost forgotten. And when Mary appeared in 1982 or 1983 in Kibeho in Africa, it's actually a Vatican-approved apparition, Mary asked the world through these visionaries to start praying the seven sorrows again. In fact, I realized at one point that the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit line up with the seven gifts of the seven sorrows of Mary actually line up with the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to explain all those to you except for one. I realized that the gift of fortitude lines up with the way of Calvary, where Jesus meets Mary on the way. As I've said before, Jesus did not need Mary as the divine word, but in his divinity, he willed to need her in his humanity, meaning the sight of Mary gave Jesus strength. Do you remember that scene in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, when Jesus falls and Mary makes it through those winding, maybe not winding, but the difficult way through the streets of Jerusalem, and somehow she sits down right as Jesus falls, and she says, "My son, body." A beautiful image for Mother's Day, that in his humanity, even Jesus needs her looking to get up and carry that cross. Not in his divinity, but in his humanity. His mother looks at him. And as we feel the weight of the cross and sometimes are falling, see that scene in the movie. See Mary looking at you saying, "My son or my daughter." She's not going to beat you down further. She looks at you as you fall and says, "My son, my daughter." Mary is the key to fortitude as we carry our cross, especially meditating on that fourth of the seven sorrows of Mary, when Mary helps even Jesus get back up. So yeah, it's good that you, I know most families here do their a daily rosary, which is ahead of 99% of all the Catholics in the world, probably, maybe 95%. But I'll encourage you to just start saying some extra decades to the day just by yourself. I actually keep like a 5-point tally system on my arm because I get interrupted so many times praying it. I just keep a tally system. So if I'm in Walgreens or, you know, walking a park in Morgan City like I did yesterday or whatever, I can just keep a tally system to know my next decade. And that might sound exhausting to say, you know, try to say 15 decades a day, but you'll realize it actually gives you strength. Sounds exhausting, but I promise you it'll give you more and more strength. And as I preached before, 5 decades a day for purity of hands, 15 decades a day for purity of mind. Let me say that again. 5 decades a day for purity of hands, 15 decades for purity of mind. Remember that Padre Pio said the rosary was the weapon. Notice he didn't say it was his weapon. He didn't say it's a weapon. He said it's the weapon. And yesterday was Our Lady of Fatima, which apparently fell on Mother's Day. I read that on Facebook. Fell on Mother's Day. I don't know if Mother's Day existed because I thought it was sort of an invented Hallmark holiday, but whatever. Point is, yesterday's Fatima, today's Mother's Day, and we all know the world's in a free fall of trouble right now. I mean, think about it. The evil in the world that existed from 1905 to 1915, I guarantee was not as bad as it is now. 500 million children dying from 500 million children dying every day from every year from contraception, 58 million abortions a year in this country alone, 100,000 children in slavery of that type that I won't explain from the pulpit, 100,000 in this country alone, 2 million in the world. The world is totally out of control. If Mary said that certain punishments and world wars were going to come with that much evil in 1905 to 1915, just because nothing cataclysmic happened yesterday does not mean we do not need to be ready for very strange things to happen in this world. And this is going to require strength of body and strength of mind. I'm not saying we're all going to flee when the Koreans show up or something, but we better be ready to live lives of great detachment because we don't know what's coming in the world. And that requires strength. I know sometimes we think of holiness as kind of just like wimpiness. No, the Lord is asking us to get strong. Our evil is greater than what they had before World War II. So there's no reason to believe it's a bad idea to get stronger now in both body and spirit. The Navy SEALs have a phrase, take it one evolution at a time. Don't have to think about the future. Take it one evolution at a time. We take one step to God, and He will take 100 steps to us. And you know, it doesn't mean that every one of us is ready to, say, endure a 3-day torture for Christ. But if we start surrendering the small things in our life, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us to the point that Jordan Allman, he's a Dominican in D.C., he wrote, quote, fortitude can be a gift given immediately, accompanied by the confidence of success. Fortitude can be a gift given immediately, accompanied by the confidence of success. Think of that in martyrdom or something. I think it was to St. Faustina that Jesus showed all these baptized souls that were rejecting these graces. All the graces bouncing off baptized souls and mortal sin in Louisiana. Of course, we first ask for their conversion, but if they don't want that, let's start asking for those graces to pour out on us. I picture a funnel sometimes. I say, Lord, all these graces you want to give priests that they don't want, that's going to be my prayer. If they don't want them, funnel them to me. I'll take them. I need them. God has all these graces He wants to pour out. Why? Because I'm better? No, because I want to win the race, even if I'm not the best runner. Because as Aristotle says, quote, and as in the Olympic Games, it is not the most beautiful nor the strongest that are crowned, but those who compete, so those who act, win. Close quote. Nicomachean Ethics, that's Aristotle. Wrote that even before Christ, but it shows us something of the gift of fortitude. And as in the Olympic Games, it is not the most beautiful nor the strongest that are crowned, but those who compete, so those who act, win. We don't know what's coming 100 years after Fatima, but we look to Our Lady on Mother's Day to bring us the strength to drop these rags that Satan drags us around with so we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is primarily peace. I'm not willing to lay down my sword just because there was nothing cataclysmic yesterday. Let us pray that we conquer our selfish desires now, so that we'll be more ready for the fire of God's pure love to fill our souls at Pentecost. As Jesus said to St. Faustina in Diary 1643, quote, "You should not worry too much about adversaries. The world is not as powerful as it seems to be. Its strength is strictly limited. Know, my daughter, that if your soul is filled with the fire of my pure love, then all difficulties dissipate like fog before the sun's rays and dare not touch the soul. All adversaries are afraid to start a quarrel with such a soul because they sense that it is stronger than the whole world. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen."